We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy. And joining us today, we're going to have Ed Burke and Brad Cisparo from the Warriors of Consciousness, an organization which I wasn't really familiar with a few months ago, but has been working with a large group of individuals in terms of the addressable market. Warriors of Consciousness has a mission to help those who cannot afford psychedelic ketamine therapy treatments to assist them in dealing with anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, other conditions. And Brad and Eddie both come out of the law enforcement liaison group advising Warriors of Consciousness. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Eddie, tell us a little bit about your background with regards to law enforcement and what drew you to Warriors of Consciousness. And then Brad, if you could jump in and do the same.
Sure. Well, I had become a policeman early in life at 21 years old. And by the time I was 23 years old, I had been recruited into the Metropolitan Enforcement Group, which was the Illinois State Police Narcotics Task Force that was operating in and out of Chicago. And it was during those years in the 90s, during the drug war, that I had my first experiences with working with psychedelic medicines, but it was more on the enforcement side. And it wasn't until after my retirement, many, many years later, that I had my own dealings with PTSD and with alcohol and substance issues. And it was then that I met Charles, and I became aware that ketamine treatments were something that could be used for PTSD and for these other ailments. So it was then that I tried it, and I had fantastic results, and then started talking about it with other law enforcement officials that also suffered from PTSD who had benefited from it as well.
Right. And that would be Charles Patty. And what's, I think the important point there is you went through an entire career and the trauma that you witnessed wasn't addressed properly during your career. No fault of yours. It's just an institutional issue. And coming out of it, you've now been able to access means by which you can address your trauma. That correct summary?
Sure. And along the way, like I said, I had tried seeing doctors and therapy, and I'd been on different prescription medications over the years, and none of them really seemed to get to the root cause or to actually help. So when I heard about it, I was a little bit skeptical at first, but I had a very spiritual experience that opened my eyes to a whole new realm and a whole new world and a whole new set of beliefs as a result of it, making me feel like I was okay again.
Right. That's incredibly powerful. And for anybody, you know, who's listening, Charles Patty was on a prior episode, quite informative and great to, if anybody hasn't had the chance to listen to that one, should go back and listen to it. Brad, you came out of not the police, you came out of the Marine Corps. And you're now working with Warriors of Consciousness in Veteran Affairs Liaison side. What are the differences that you've noticed between the challenges that you're helping people address versus people on the law enforcement and DEA side?
So there's a lot of similarities between the two in terms of coming across encounters that are can be traumatic, whether it be in combat, being ambushed, or, you know, arriving at a murder scene where children were murdered. So it's very similar. There's not really any difference between the two. But from a personal experience, being a two combat tour ribbon receiver, I invested about 5 years in talk therapy, where I talked to the therapist and everything, because I realized I wasn't handling and dealing with situations. But I didn't know why. You know, I was, and trying to process all the emotions. And then I started with plant medicine, and
right.
the healing was tenfold, if not more, therapeutic in just a year of doing some, you know, some plant medicine. And we're talking maybe once every 2 to 3 months. And that was right. literally it.
Yeah. And, you know, you touched on something that's really important for anybody who's going through these processes is talk therapy can be beneficial for some, but it isn't it isn't the right path for everybody. But the nice thing and the advantage of combining any therapy with a ketamine or other treatment that's similar is it allows you to confront the issue in a judgment-free zone in your own mind in many ways. It allows you to break down those barriers and assess them. For both of you, what was the moment? Was it how quickly after you started using ketamine as part of your therapy did you notice a change and an improvement?
For me, it was pretty much instantaneous, like leaving there with a new perspective on life and on the meaning of so many things. And it just, yeah, it was pretty much almost, immediate.
I felt like my whole core had been shocked, and it hit me instantaneously. And the way that I thought about things, the way that I obsessed about things changed immediately. You know, for years, I had gone through drinking and periods of not drinking, but even with long periods of sobriety, I always craved alcohol. And one of the things I noticed immediately was the way that I thought about things and obsessed about things changed so drastically. And that was the first one that was noticeable for me.
And did you notice an immediate change in your drinking patterns?
I don't drink anymore. I stopped drinking.
That's a fantastic outcome, right? That you no longer have to turn to that as an aid to dampen the pain and the feelings.
Right. And I'm now doing it because it's because that's what I want to do, not because, you know, my wife told me that I can't drink anymore, or not because my kids said, you know, not to drink, or not because a job told me, you know, to do it. It was, you know, because of my own, I came to my own conclusion and my own thought process that I had struggled with literally from the time I was a kid. You know, I talked about my law enforcement background, but I didn't talk about, even as a kid, I struggled with ADD and learning disabilities and
right.
and having social skills to fit in. And, you know, I kind of succumbed to substance and alcohol early in life as a way to cope. And somehow I managed to scrape through life. But by the time I had met Charles and come to myself wellness, I was really at wit's end with a lot of things and wanted to give up my life. And that changed instantaneously. The love that I felt from within just all of a sudden made me not want to harm myself anymore.
And that's incredibly powerful. And it's interesting you touch on, you know, some of the teenage issues and ADHD and ADD and the differences and how it helped you comprehend what was going on. Because, you know, as somebody who goes through ADHD, has ADHD and go, you look at the world a different way and don't always understand why others don't. And being able to break those barriers and gain a commonality of understanding is huge.
And I spent my whole life trying to escape from what that perceived reality was rather than embrace it and just, you know, create my reality as I go.
Right. And that's, you know, interesting because we all deal with those things in so many different ways. I looked at it as my superpower, but it definitely also had its drawbacks. Ben, you know, would have loved to have been able to assess those earlier. Now, the people, when you deal with individuals that you're helping go through the process, it's not just the individuals, but it's the organizations behind them. For people who are still involved in law enforcement or in the military, how supportive are the organizations themselves? I know for like veterans associations are incredibly supportive, but what about people who are, let's say, just coming back from combat, but aren't yet a veteran? They're not yet out of the forces, they're still involved. Is there a path for them in terms of the communications for the warriors of consciousness to interact?
Absolutely. They're able to get hold of us. And the biggest thing that we need to work on is basically getting our message out, letting know people that we are available to go ahead and help those individuals with that. And so, yeah, they're still in. They have another couple of years. Absolutely. We'd love to be able to take care of them and help them through their healing process.
And Eddie, on your end, because of course you were working with the, or you were assigned to work with the DEA and other, and the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas Task Force, how are those organizations for dealing with where their current officers are struggling?
Well, I don't think organizations as a whole have positions on how this is handled. And I think that a lot of, on the law enforcement side, a lot of officers are just becoming aware that this is something that, that is available to them. And it's through basic word of mouth and some high-ranking members having it done themselves that are just spreading the word amongst the department. Like I said, I talked about being in the Metropolitan Enforcement Group, and as I rose ranks over the years, and I ended up as the assistant chief deputy of the Cook County Sheriff's Office, and then a chief at Cook County Homeland Security, wrapping up my career. So this is all very new for us, and reaching out to some of these organizations. Some of the larger law enforcement organizations have little factions within them that are, you know, kind of wellness groups. Of people that have kind of been in 12-step programs and things like that. But it's basically a whole new treatment that that is, you know, you have to remember, up until a couple of years ago, these they weren't considered a drug that was treatable or something that would be used to treat something like that. So it's kind of new to the radar of the institution and the organizations.
Yeah, no, it is new, and it's fascinating. Where I live, there's 20% of the police officers are on either leave or on no longer going into the field because of the effects of PTSD from work-related trauma. And forget the trauma or abuse that people enter the force with that hasn't been addressed. With your hindsight and with the individuals, and yourselves and the individuals you're helping, where in the process could the forces make the biggest impact in terms of preventive medicine and for helping people relieve themselves of these issues before they go into the field?
I think the first part that we need to address is the taboo surrounding ketamine and plant medicine, and that it is okay to seek help, and that you don't have to just tough through it and figure it out, because it is such a beautiful process. And on the other end of everything, it is so much healing, and just to become more conscious and aware of so much more than what it is. It literally is taking the red pill and realizing so much more. So I think the first biggest step is we need to awareness and then break this taboo that these are drugs and not medicine, is probably a first good step.
And I think there's so many people that are ashamed to admit that they're in the precarious scenarios that they find themselves in, especially having been a veteran or law enforcement official or somebody that may still be suffering, that's currently in the job, doesn't want to talk about it. Traditionally, you always feared that you were going to lose your ability to carry your firearm if you went in and talked about having mental health issues. So that was a big stigma as well. So it wasn't just about that it was a drug. And of course, that's a big stigma to get over, but that other one's a big doozy too.
So that is a big stigma for people, especially, it's part of who you are in terms of my role and my place is to assist others. It's through law enforcement. It really is all about the treatment and assistance of others and prevention of nefarious activity. And if I'm speak up about the challenges I'm having, does that make me any less capable? No, it doesn't. But there is the stigma around it, which needs to be overcome. And that's a really, really good point. When people enter the forces, unfortunately, they aren't often provided a lot of preparatory training for the trauma they will receive. How quickly do you think you could, if you look back, I'm just phrasing this question as I go, if you look back and if you were able to look at it as a path through the career, where would you start helping people access the assistance before they hit the field the first time, at certain milestones or certain events? And what would be the biggest impact for people in terms of benefit to ensuring their safety? And that's a mental health safety question. Yeah.
I would probably like to see that this was discussed before they went into combat or a theater of operations, and then immediately available when they got back. Basically, after each tour, I came back. It was just a 2-week period, and we hung around Camp Lejeune and found random shit to buy at the PX. So there was really no coaching. There was no guidance. I mean, they asked us, we were given a form to fill out, do you feel like you want to hurt yourself? Do you want to hurt others and stuff like that?
Right.
And we knew all the right answers to write on there to get home. So, yeah. There's a lot of preparation that goes into and training that goes into combat and those kind of theaters of operations, but there's really not much coming out. So that's why I'm really excited to be a part of, Wards of Consciousness.
And no words can prepare you for what you're going to come out of on the other side as well.
No, absolutely not. Nobody can prepare you for what you're going to see. The only thing they can prepare you for is how can you handle trauma when it occurs.
I remember being 21 years old and in the Chicago Police Academy, and Mr. T's brother, Sergeant Tiro, our physical, our PT instructor,
right,
beating the hell out of us. And I remember the day that I graduated. Literally within the first 5 minutes of my first shift on my first day out of the academy, I was in a chase for a stolen car. And it just went on and on and on and on. And you talk about shootings and chases and cases where parents were taken away from their children, horrific, heinous crime scenes that just add up over the years. Sometimes it isn't the shootings that does it to you. Sometimes it's the something that you saw in a household or a family that just broke your heart, and nothing can prepare you for any of that. And it doesn't matter what background you came from. It doesn't matter what psychological position you were in when you got there. It doesn't help if you're not kind of set in a good way to begin with, but that kind of long-term 30-year field of engaging in trauma all the time, there should be better checks along the way, and there should be treatment along the way, because people don't realize that not only as that is occurring, it's stamping itself up on top of itself, and then you're just numbing it out with alcohol, and now some cops are even using drugs, and now you're living in the shame that you're supposed to be a good guy, and you're masking it all out with drugs and alcohol yourself. So there's got to be a better process along the way, for sure.
There has to be, and that's you touch on something incredibly important there for people, not just in your fields or backgrounds, but in general. When we see a traumatic event and we know it's a traumatic event, we process it differently than when we see something that triggers us subconsciously, or because there's a major event, we don't notice the secondary ones around it as obviously, but those can have the pernicious effect of digging into us over time.
Right.
And that, they build up like scar tissue that we never excise. And eventually, that's where a process like ketamine comes in, where it helps us break down those barriers and recognize all of the challenges and how to break through them. So, unfortunately, we are going to be running out of time here, but if you were to, reaching out to other individuals, your Warriors of Consciousness as an organization operates in how many states today, and where would you like to see the biggest change happen that you would be able to reach more people more effectively in the next year?
I'll go. The big thing, well, also I wanted to add on to something else that even though we are warriors of consciousness, this isn't just limited to people who have been in military or police involvement. You know, this can involve with domestic abuse. We're really trying to get into human trafficking as well to try and help those individuals and all the trauma they've been through. So I don't want people to think like, oh, but,
it's analogous to every area of life, yeah. Unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Right. Humanity takes its toll on all of us, no matter what our positions in life are. A job is just a small part of who we are. And yeah. And you're so right about that. Absolutely. This could be for anybody.
Humanity becomes an oxymoron sometimes.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yep. It's based out of Florida right now, Warriors of Consciousness, but we don't have any geographical boundaries. So anyone who is in need or whatever is open and welcome to get any services and be able to take care of those needs wherever they may be, depending on, they can travel to Florida or if they're just local, all that stuff can be fixed. And I guess the second part of your question was getting out to more people. The reason that I was kind of brought on and is that there is a little bit of disassociation with people who are in the military versus people who aren't in the military, and they don't know what I've been through, so who are they telling me? So I've been kind of brought in to bridge that gap and to basically be able to go into VAs and talk to symposiums of military veterans and basically share my story with how it helped me, and then realize that, oh crap, this might be something for me, and I can help my journey in healing as well.
Right.
It's in the sharing that you attract somebody that is in need of help.
Absolutely. And I have a mental health project that I'm working on quite actively, and leaving apart the effects of PTSD that comes in the field, 61% of people have a what's called an ACE, an adverse childhood experience, which involves PTSD and abuse before their 17th birthday. And so all of those individuals are walking into, through life with the challenges unaddressed, and then new traumas and abuses, because we don't know how to handle them, are being inflicted on a continuous basis. And what you're talking about, yes, the organization itself may target or work strict focused with veterans and law enforcement officials, but the reality is the challenges faced by everybody and the lessons we learn from one can be applied to everybody, because there's no monopoly on trauma, yeah. Unfortunately.
No, and with that statistic and that thought in mind, we should all be a little bit kinder to one another, not knowing what everybody's going through on their own personal journey.
Yeah, we don't, we walk through the streets sometimes and we think we have our challenges, but we don't, and we look at everybody else's faces and don't realize that 6 out of 10 of them are dealing with as bad or worse, and the others are all worried about somebody in their family who's dealing with as bad or worse.
Right. I would agree with that, absolutely.
So, gentlemen, we are out of time for today, but people who want to learn more about Warriors of Consciousness, learn about what you're doing and how to reach out to you for help, how can they contact you?
We're located on the web, Warriors of Consciousness, or WOC.org. So, anyone can go out there, find out information. I believe there's a portal to be able to become a patient, or not necessarily a patient, but inclusive about services. And then through the organization, we'll be able to reach out to them and contact them and further their journey.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for joining us. And
thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Eddie. Thanks, Brad. And thanks to everybody for listening. We'll be back again with you soon. I'm Richard Zwicky with High on Healthy.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign. It's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.